Okay, let's turn back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We pray that you would use your word to encourage our hearts as we consider this passage and the results of justification. Help us to see more clearly the blessings that accompany being a child of God. I praise you for what you will do in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we start going through these first 11 verses in chapter 5 that cover the blessings of justification, I think it would be good to just briefly look back to see where this passage appears in the context of the epistle to the Romans. So let's go back to chapter 1. After Paul's greeting and some personal comments, he closes his introductory remarks by transitioning into the main theme of the letter in verses 16 and 17 of chapter 1, where he wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Here Paul introduces the theme of the epistle, the gospel of God's grace. This is the good news of salvation. The gospel gives the remedy for sin to everyone that believes. And in this letter, Paul unveils God's righteousness as it is revealed in the gospel. And that is the key thought of the book. And then Paul closes this introductory section with the principle of how the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. At the end of verse 17, "The just shall live by faith," quoting from the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. And the point is that salvation and justification is by faith, and faith alone. But the gospel, or the good news, starts with the bad news, and that begins in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. And Paul goes on to describe this here through chapter 2 and part of chapter 3. Paul goes on to prove that all men stand condemned before God. That includes the heathen from here until the end of chapter 1, the moral man in the first 16 verses of chapter 2, and the Jew starting in chapter 2, verse 17, until chapter 3 in verse 8. And Paul summarizes by declaring the whole world condemned, starting in chapter 3 and verse 9. "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." So we are all under sin. And that's what he goes on to continually drive that nail home in this section. And he closes with the final verdict in verses 19 and 20 of this chapter. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So this section presents the bad news. All have sinned and stand guilty and condemned before God. Guilty and condemned in his sight. Then the good news begins with the all-important three-letter word, but, beginning in verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law, or apart from the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In verses 21 and 22, Paul states that the righteousness of God has been provided for, been manifested. And in verse 23, again, he states the point that all men are lacking and need this righteousness. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in verse 24, Paul declares that this righteousness is given by God freely by his grace. Believers are justified through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The doctrine of justification teaches that believers are declared righteous in Christ. And notice the in Christ. Believers are declared righteous in Christ. And this is positional truth. Our position as believers in Christ is that we are justified freely by his grace. Someone has said, it's just as if I'd never sinned. When God looks at us in Christ, he remembers our sin no more. Our sins were judicially covered once and for all by the blood of Christ. The prophet Isaiah said, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He died for us as our sin substitute. Therefore, God is righteous in giving the gift of salvation, which includes justification. The just and the righteous punishment for sin was paid for through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And God now offers justification to all who have sinned and come short of the glory of God as a free gift. And that is the point being driven home by Paul in the remainder of chapter 3 and all of chapter 4. Justification is by faith, believing, and not by the law. Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. In chapter 4, Paul gives two Old Testament examples of this truth, Abraham and David. So this brings us to the passage we want to consider in Romans 5. That's the context that this passage appears in. All men are condemned and need justification, and the gospel of God's grace has the solution to that dilemma. It's believing on the death, burial, and resurrection of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, being justified freely by his grace as a result of that expression of faith by believing. Let's look at the last three verses in Romans chapter 4, starting in verse 23. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, Abraham, that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. So here Paul is concluding the illustration of Abraham's faith, and verse 25 presents the assurance that believers can have of being justified by faith. And it's the resurrection. The resurrection is proof that God accepted the sacrifice of his beloved Son, who was delivered because of our offenses. They are paid for completely. And the proof is that he was raised again because of our justification. Justification is a completed work. And chapter 5 now begins a new section of the book. And in this chapter, Paul is going to expand on the blessedness of justification by faith. He magnifies this wonderful truth. And in the first 11 verses, he does this by viewing its results, the many benefits that go along with justification by faith. And then beginning verse 12 to the end of the chapter, he expands on the consequences of justification by viewing its superiority to the consequences of Adam's sin. But this morning we want to look at the blessings of justification that Paul gives in verses 1 to 11. Justification in and of itself is a wonderful blessing. We have been declared righteous in God's sight, clothed in his righteousness, a righteousness that we could never have earned. But God, who is rich in mercy, has provided this righteousness as a gift, being justified freely by his grace. And if that weren't enough, there are many other blessings that accompany justification that Paul is now going to reveal in chapter 5. Up to this point in the epistle, Paul has been presenting the gospel on the basis of need and not on the basis of benefit or blessings. The unsaved person needs to know that they need a Savior, and they need to know why they need a Savior. And once they see their desperate need and come to the Savior in faith, only then will they begin to understand all the benefits that accompany salvation. He introduced this blessedness in chapter 4, in verse 7, quoting David from Psalm 32, verse 7 of chapter 4, saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." And that's what he begins to address now. He's going to dive into this blessedness that accompanies justification. So we have finally arrived in chapter 5, verse 1. That's the context. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And notice how the last word in chapter 4, justification, connects with the first verse of chapter 5. And the word therefore is pointing back to what Paul just said, starting in Romans 3:21, where he started talking about the righteousness of God apart from the law being manifested or made known, all the way to the end of chapter 4. The more literal meaning of the beginning of verse 1 is, having been justified by faith. It's a completed work. And then we see that the first result or blessing of justification is that we have peace with God. Notice the phrase, we have. We have peace with God. This is present tense, and Paul is going to open up with present blessings that we enjoy as believers. And this peace with God is the first of 12 blessings that Paul is going to mention. And this speaks of a judicial peace. Peace with God is a position of peace as opposed to the peace of God, which is a conditional peace. A believer's peace with God, this positional peace that can never be lost, is based on a fact that happened in the past. In Colossians 1:20, the apostle wrote of our Lord, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Ephesians 2:14, he is our peace. He has made peace in the believer's relationship with God. Now, the Bible tells us that God hates sin. He cannot even look at iniquity. And this enmity between God and man because of sin has been taken away. This peace with God is based on the facts of the gospel of God's grace on the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The marvelous grace of God that takes one who had been a condemned sinner, an enemy and a rebel against God. God takes that undeserving sinner who responds to the gospel message in faith and makes him a child of God, having made peace through the blood of his cross. The blood of Christ pays the price for sin that condemned the sinner and removes that obstacle to having peace with God. As believers, God sees us in Christ, clothed in his righteousness, justified ones. That is the basis for peace with God. In Psalm 85:10, we are told, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Don't you love that verse? That verse certainly describes the blessing of justification. God's righteousness that is provided with justification and the resulting peace with God have kissed each other. The wrath of God being revealed from heaven no longer threatens the justified believer. And then verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Blessing number 2, being justified by faith, we have access by faith into this grace, through whom we have access. It's through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Greek word for access literally means a leading or a bringing into the presence of. Christ leads us and brings us into the presence of his Father. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We have access through Christ to the very throne of God. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, the exhortation is to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What amazing grace. Access to the very throne of God is the second blessing of justification given by Paul in this passage. Blessing number three, being justified by faith, we have a standing in grace. Into this grace wherein we stand. In Galatians, Paul was addressing the fact that the Judaizers were trying to put the believers back under the law of Moses. And he wrote in Galatians 5:4, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Believers, those who are justified by faith, have a wonderful standing in grace. And it's a wonderful standing in divine favor. We are accepted in the Beloved. And the verb we stand here is in the perfect tense, which means we stand in grace. We continue to stand in grace, and this standing never changes. The grace or unmerited favor is here seen as a haven or a safe harbor. And as the songwriter expressed, we have entered a haven of rest. In Jesus, we are safe evermore. And how is this possible? It's only by the grace of God. We can stand before God because of His grace and based on the finished work of our Savior on the cross. Sin has been removed from our account, as we sang in that song just moments ago. Blessing number four, being justified by faith, we have joy. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God at the end of verse 2. The glory of God is the overriding purpose in all that God does. And the glory of God can be described or expressed as the likeness of God. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says that Jesus Christ is the brightness of His glory. And that word brightness means the outshining. Jesus Christ is the outshining or the image of God's glory. And the point in having joy and hope of the glory of God is that believers can rejoice in our hope to be more like our Savior. And Paul discusses this amazing truth in chapter 8 of this epistle as well, beginning in verse 18, where he wrote, For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's God's purpose in saving sinners. And then continuing in verse 8, verse 29, For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's why Jesus saved us, that we might be conformed to the image of God's Son. And verse 30, whom He justified, them He also glorified. When we have the image of Christ, then we shall have the glory of God. Glorification for the Christian is putting on the full likeness of God Himself as it is revealed in Jesus Christ. 1 John 4, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him That is the hope of the glory of God. And it's a wonderful hope, and we ought to be rejoicing in it. Psalm 89:16, in thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted, glorified, the hope of the glory of God. And this is the blessing of justification. Blessing number 5, back in Romans chapter 5, verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. We glory in tribulations. And this blessing is introduced by the phrase, and not only so, not only so. And that phrase appears again at the end of this passage in verse 11. So it's a kind of a key phrase. The point is that this is the culmination of what was just revealed. You know, the first 4 blessings lead up to this 5th blessing. And the believer can glory in tribulations because of the change in our relationship with God. Our outlook on life changes when we are at peace with God. We have access to the throne of grace and a standing in His favor, and are looking forward to His glory. The believer is able to face life's difficulties and struggles with a new strength. As Paul wrote, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And this is why the believer can glory in tribulations. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. You know, glory is the same word in the Greek as rejoice. We rejoice in tribulations. We have joy in our tribulations, as hard to believe as that sounds. You know, tribulation means to press together, and it's the pressures that we face in life. You know, the unsaved person cannot rejoice in tribulations. They're discouraged by tribulations. And the reason that Paul gives that the believer should glory in tribulations is because we know that we are in the middle of a process. God has a purpose in allowing tribulation in the life of a believer. And Paul tells us what that process is. That tribulation produces patience or endurance, and patience or endurance produces experience or approved character. Enduring tribulation, responding in a God-honoring way, will cause the believer to be transformed in the inner man. It produces God's stamp of approval on our life and character. You know, Paul encouraged the believers to have a mindset related to these blessings of justification in Romans 12, verse 12, saying, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Never give up. Continue to pray and trust God to accomplish His purpose in your life as He brings you through the affliction. Now, the psalmist had the right mindset, one that could say in Psalm 119, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. And he also said a few verses later, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Romans 8:28, we all know it. all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And his purpose is that we might be conformed into the image of his Son. When God puts our hearts to the test and believers respond in a way that produces patience or endurance, that endurance produces experience or approved character. And as we are conformed to the image of his Son, this approved character produces and increases hope. And that leads us to the next blessing, blessing number 6 in verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Being justified by faith, we have a hope that makes one not ashamed. This approved character produces hope, which here is an inner confidence that God is in control. You know, in the Greek, there is a definite article before the word hope. You know, so this is not just anything we hope for. The definite article means that Paul is talking about a specific hope. In the Greek, it is the hope maketh not ashamed. So what is this specific hope that will never make us ashamed or disappoint us? Well, it's the hope of the glory of God that was just mentioned in verse 2. This is God's method of conforming his children into the image of his Son, and we believe that. That's our hope. That's our confident expectation that as we go through these trials, God is using them to conform us to the image of his Son. Proverbs 4:18, another one of my favorites. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. One of the commentators that I read, and I'm sorry, I can't recall which one it was, said this, and I really thought it was good. In the path that leads to glory, as we experience what the God of glory is, how that glory brightens. As a believer draws nearer, still nearer, we should be growing more and more confident and realizing the glory of God that we wait for. And this hope of the glory of God will never make you ashamed. It will never fail or disappoint. You know, the justified person has the privilege of going through this cycle. 2 Corinthians 4:17 helps put it into perspective. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. This is meant to be an ever-expanding process. You know, the path of the just, the path of the justified one, is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You know, if we respond in the right way to tribulation, we will grow in Christ-likeness, and that is what God desires. We grow steadily stronger in hope because along the way, we enjoy the love of the God of our hope. It's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And the rest of this section on the blessings of justification show why this hope will never make us ashamed or fail. All these Christian experiences and hopes rest upon the assurance that we have the love of God. And the first reason that our hope or inner confidence in the Lord will never disappoint us is because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And that's the next blessing, blessing number 7. Being justified by faith, we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. We can experience the love of God. The meaning of shed abroad in the perfect tense is that God's love has poured in and it continually, it still floods our hearts. No matter how bad the tribulation may be, Psalm 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. When our tribulations cause our hearts to break, we can be comforted knowing that God is near, especially at those times. His loving heart pours in and floods our hearts. And this process of going through tribulations is used by God to try our hearts and also to demonstrate His love for us. And there's more to come in this section on the topic of God's love. You know, this whole process of the believer growing in Christ-likeness is a product of the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's the next blessing. Blessing number 8, being justified by faith. It's at the end of verse 5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. We have the Holy Spirit. A justified person doesn't need to anxiously look for a future time when the Holy Spirit will be received. A justified person has the Holy Spirit now. And this is a remarkable verse in the book of Romans. It has the first mention in the book of both the Holy Spirit and the love of God. God allows tribulations in our life to make this wonderful process of a believer drawing nearer, still nearer to God, who has allowed the tribulation to demonstrate His love for us. Now, God loves His children with an everlasting love, and that love is being demonstrated by giving us the Holy Spirit to comfort and guide us as we trust Him to make it through the tribulation and to learn the lesson that God has for us. He wants His children to draw near to Him, to stay close to Him, and to depend upon being strengthened with might in the inner man by His Spirit. He wants His children facing tribulation to come forth as gold. And the fire, the tribulation, is meant to refine the precious metal, to remove the dross. And God will sustain us through trials and complete the process of purifying. And that's why the justified one should glory in tribulations. We need to know that we are in the middle of a process of becoming more like our Savior. Blessing number 9, being justified by faith, we have the proof of God's love because Christ died for us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. the marvel of God's love is that it was love for the ungodly. And that's the point of the passage. In verse 6, without strength means that we were weak and powerless. There was nothing that we could do to save ourselves. Yet Christ was willing to die for the ungodly, those who had no fear of God. He was willing to die for sinners, those who had missed the mark. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the point of verse 7 is that the greatest love that man has falls far short of God's love. A man might lay down his life for his friend, but Jesus Christ, the God-man, laid down his life for his enemies. And Paul speaks a lot more about God's love later on in this epistle, the end of chapter 8, telling the believers that nothing can separate us from the love of God. It's an amazing love that was manifested and seen by Christ's death on the cross. Blessing number 10, being justified by faith, we are going to be saved from wrath. Verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Here is one of four much more phrases appearing in this chapter. Being now justified by his blood. Paul states that we have been justified by his blood. Again, in Colossians 1, the apostle wrote, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Ephesians 2, 13 and 14, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. His shed blood settled the sin question, and once sinful rebels can stand clothed and with his righteousness through believing that wonderful gospel of God's grace. And notice the phrase, we shall be. We shall be saved from wrath through him. This refers to the future. Up until now, all of the verbs have been, we have peace with God, we have access. Now it changes to we. Paul is now going to speak about some much more wonderful blessings that believers have to look forward to in the future. Now, again, as was the case in verse 1, main tense of the passage is not being justified, but having been justified. It's an action that took place in the past. But now we shall be saved or delivered from wrath through him. Saved from the wrath of God that's coming in the future. In 1 Thessalonians 1, Paul was commending the Thessalonian believers who had turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And notice that even though Paul is speaking about a future event, the wrath to come, he tells the believers that Jesus has delivered them, you know, using the past tense, from that future day of wrath coming during the tribulation period. And he does that to emphasize the certainty of this deliverance. You know, in God's mind, this deliverance is as good as done, even though it's not going to happen until the future. This is a future blessing of justification. We shall be saved from wrath, delivered from the wrath to come in the future. And then blessing number 11, being justified by faith, we are going to be saved by his life. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Our salvation is as secure as the life of Christ. And notice again that Paul uses that much more phrase. And the point is, if God, when I was a sinner, gave Christ to die for me, how much more, now that I'm justified and reconciled, will he save me and keep me saved? 1 John 3, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall be saved by his life. We shall be saved by our union, with his glorified life. We shall be like him when he appears. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, literally forevermore, save them forevermore, them that come unto God by him. And the reason, seeing that he ever lives to make intercession for them. John 14:19, because I live, ye shall live also. And in Revelation 1:18, when the risen Lord appeared to John, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. He died once to save us. He lives to keep us saved. And we are going to be saved forevermore by his life. And blessing number 12, being justified by faith, we joy in God. Verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Here in verse 11, Paul is continuing to speak of future blessings, things that we shall be. And the verse begins by saying, and not only so, but we also joy in God. So the verse is continuing to speak about a future blessing in eternity. And the word atonement at the end means reconciliation. We have been reconciled to God. Our relationship with God has been changed from being an enemy of God to being a child of God. From being in a state of hostility to a state of fellowship. And because we've received or entered into this new relationship, the final future blessing mentioned is that we shall joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. And in enlisting these blessings of justification, in chapter 5, Paul has been leading the readers to the mountaintop. And the climax of the present blessings of justification, we saw this phrase used earlier in verse 3, and not only so, that phrase was used because of the believer's new relationship with God, they could face the struggles of this present life, knowing God's ultimate purpose to conform us to his image. He has given believers the indwelling Holy Spirit and manifested his love for us by sending his Son to die on the cross and shed his blood for us. And keeping these blessings in view will enable us to endure life's difficulties and grow closer to and more like our Savior in the process. And here in verse 11 again, we also have that phrase, and not only so. grand and glorious as the future blessings of justification just revealed are, there is something even higher still. And not only so, a climax and crown to all this wealth of blessing. In some way, those other blessings are exceeded by this final blessing of justification, this final future blessing. You know, Paul already gave two of the future blessings. We shall be delivered from the wrath to come, and we shall live forevermore throughout all eternity. And now we have arrived. This is the climax of these future benefits. And not only so, we will have joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who reconciled us to God. We will have joy in God for all eternity. Not only his gifts, but in himself, the bountiful giver, rejoicing in God himself, the author and finisher, the beginning, middle, and end of so great salvation. Now, an older commentary that I read, the author's name was J.R. Caldwell. He was one of the Plymouth Brethren. He said of this verse and the phrase, "We also joy in God." This is what he said. "Nothing can surpass that. Throughout all eternity, we shall never rise higher than that to find our joy in God himself." What a contrast. Instead of groaning afar off under the intolerable burden of a guilty conscience, we are brought to find in that very God against whom we had so grievously sinned our rest and joy. And that is the mountaintop of these blessings of justification. Nothing will ever surpass that. And one final thought on this passage is how the Lord Jesus Christ is connected with all these blessings of justification. It is by or through him that we have these blessings. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Lord Jesus Christ by whom we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand. In due time, Christ died for us, the ungodly, to demonstrate the love of God. We shall be saved from wrath through him. We were reconciled to God by his death and shall be saved for all eternity by his life. We joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one by whom we have received the atonement or reconciliation. So over and over and over, Paul points the believers to the source of these wonderful blessings of justification. It's the cross of Calvary. It's the sacrificial death of Christ where the old account was settled. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the source of all these wonderful blessings of justification. And he is also the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." What a great salvation he offers. What a wonderful Savior he is. If you haven't already responded to the Lord Jesus Christ, won't you come to him and be justified by faith? Won't you be justified by his blood today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage. We pray that you would help us to appreciate more and more what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished on our behalf, and to truly rejoice in what we are and have in him. We are accepted in the Beloved and have peace with God and so many other blessings from thy gracious hand. And if there are any here today who have never responded and by faith and faith alone to the gospel of the grace of God, we pray that today would be the day that they would see what God's amazing love has provided and accept this wonderful gift of salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.